Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I have to send a message. If I'm not sending a message, then who's sending that message?
Draymond Green, he's going to wreak havoc.
He embraces being the villain, and without him, we're not the Warriors.
You got to be about what you talk about. And I take pride in that.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Good morning, Key. Good morning, Jay.
What up, baby?
What's happening?
Happy Wednesday hump day.
That's it. Big game three tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff going on. Let's jump right into it because
what's going on?
That is what is on my mind tonight. Oh, I got good sleep last night because
you feel ready to go tonight.
Oh, I'm ready to go.
Late night.
I might even have to take a nap when I get home just to. I'm ready to go. It is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Guys, here is Draymond Green on the Draymond Green Show on not changing the way he plays, even with the techs and all that. Listen to this.
Nobody's paying to watch this stuff to see guys get thrown out of the game and you not see the game you want to watch. Like, and so I understand and agree. Like, yes, if there is something egregious, I'm going to get thrown out. As we know, nobody's sparing me. I never goes into it or after my first tech, like, oh, man, I got to tread carefully or walk lightly just to stay in the game. Like, because if I'm going to tread carefully and walk lightly, then I may as well get thrown out anyway. Because that's not going to help my team win. So I have to be me.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
So I'm taking off my analyst hat, Key, and I'm putting on my player cap for a second if I'm the Boston Celtics. And Draymond Green is right. You know, nobody wants to see players get kicked out of the NBA Finals or ejected for technical fouls. So if I'm Marcus Smart, if I'm Robert Williams, the first thing I'm doing in the first quarter is I'm putting Draymond Green on his ass. I'm putting him on his back. I'm hitting him with a back screen. I'm hitting him with a flare screen. I'm hitting him advertently when he goes up for a rebound with an elbow. I'm doing something, and I've heard Pat Riley say this before back in the day. Sometimes you got to meet force with force. And I'm setting the energy right from the top and the tempo and the pace of the game that it doesn't matter what the hell you do, Draymond. Game three is drastically different than game two. We are setting the tone for game two. And that tone is each and every play, your ass is going to be looking at me with your back on the ground because that's where you belong. That's just how you have to come at it. Now, that may get me a tech. That may get me a hard foul. But it's just setting a different tone for game three and what it needs to be for the Boston Celtics.
Well, now you're getting ready to play right into Draymond Green's hands.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it is, because you're playing his game. You're doing something authentically that you unauthentic that you would never do. You would never do that. Maybe there's one guy. Maybe there's a Marcus Smart that it does something along those lines. But you that's one person. There's five people on the court. And Draymond Green is going to agitate five different guys, not just one. So you playing right into Draymond's hands because your focus now is on me. And if you doing that, I got you right where I want you because you so worried about trying to get underneath my skin. I'm the one with the tough mind and the strength to withstand whatever you do. You not. And so when you start to do those sort of things, you falling right into Draymond's hands, man. You just got to play your game and not worry about what he does. Mm-hmm. You don't have to fight fire with fire as far as the physicality go. If you're a physical player, be a physical player. If you all of a sudden, Jay, I don't know, who would be non-physical on the Boston Celtics, so to speak? Whoever that guy
Jason
is.
Jason Tatum would be not. He's not like a physical dude or Jaylen
okay,
Brown.
Okay, so Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown, if you start to try to play in the Draymond Green's hands, you're going to be all shook and looking at something totally different.
But, Key, that's
why, just doing you.
That's where I think basketball and football are a little bit different, though, and that's why I said Marcus Smart, the first name that came out of my mouth, because I think that sets a different – Marcus Smart can absorb that type of play. That's who he is.
In other words, they got a dude like that on the team.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's just like Draymond, Draymond is that dude. But, Key, Draymond's that dude on Golden State, and he recognized, I got to impose that part of me on game two. Yeah, but, and Jay's point seems to be, now their Draymond, their guy like that needs to do the same.
But if you are without Marcus Smart for whatever reason, because the referees are watching both now, they understand that the Boston Celtics got, I don't know, bullied in game two and in game three on their own home court, they may try to come back and retaliate to some degree with some sort of toughness. So they're watching the green. But there's no question about it.
But Key, in basketball, I can do that in so many different ways, man. Like, I can say if Draymond Green's on the ball and he's pressuring the ball and I come up from the weak side and I have his man, like Jason, say he's guarding whoever, and I have him run him really hard into me, he doesn't see me coming, boom, with a back check, like a back screen, and he's on the ground, okay, you're on the ground. You can get a hard, hard foul on him without it being seen as a tech.
Want to hear what Ime Udoka says about how they're going to handle this situation? Want to hear what the Celtics head coach has to say about all this? Coach, this is NBA on ESPN Radio. How do you deal with Draymond's antics?
You know, I tell guys, be who you are. If you're a guy who ignores it, ignore it. If you're a guy who confronts it, be who you are. And so with our guys, we all know that's part of the scouting report on guys, whether it's, you know, Patrick Beverly or Green or whoever the case may be, that's part of what they do. And so you have to play through and keep your composure.
Hear the full interview with Ime Udoka as part of our NBA Finals coverage on ESPN Radio. You can tune into Game 3 tonight as the Celtics host the Warriors, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
Key, yesterday we had Cedric Maxwell on the show, and what's the first thing he said? He's like, yo, back in the 80s, dude would have got punched out. He would have got knocked out. Or knocked him in the face. So, like, all I'm saying to you, and just to answer your last question, Key, about what it does to the rest of the guys on the team. If you see a guy like Draymond, that right from the beginning, you initiate the action on him instead of it being the other way around, that gives you confidence as a teammate, because now you're saying, yeah, dude, this is our court. We dictate the tone, not you. It sends a message that resonates through the rest of your team, that it gets them to buy into that moment even more. It does,
you know,
man.
I understand you want to set the tone, set a certain level from the outset. But in the end, for me, if I got Marcus Smart, who's important to me, who's running the offense, and I cannot afford to have him so focused in that he can't run the offense the way that he needs to. He can't play defense the way he needs to.
We can do both.
All of a sudden, I mean, maybe he can. I don't know.
Draymond did both. He started stuff.
Draymond is a consistent at this. That's why we're having a conversation.
So is Marcus Smart.
We're having a conversation about Draymond Green because of why. This is something that he does every single time.
But Key, it seems to be like Udoka's point and Jay's point to me seem to be like, Draymond played a better game because he became more of himself in that moment,
animated.
Right? And Marcus Smart is the same type of cat, right? He's the same high emotional, high energy. He might feed off of that. So, and by the way, here's another thing. And Key, you seem to think refs are already on high alert, and that may be.
Absolutely.
But sometimes, sure, like in baseball, you brush a guy back, be the first to do it, because then you get the warnings, and now when they try to retaliate, you box them. If Marcus Smart initiates, maybe they're on high alert and they do it from the beginning, right, Key? Or maybe now it's like we got our eyes on everybody, so when Dre tries to retaliate, now he gets teed up.
It's like almost, Key, it's like almost like with LeBron and the bait, right? Since there is high alert right now, high awareness, if you strike first, like it's typically like, you know, the kid that punches the kid at school, he doesn't get caught. It's the kid that punches the kid back that punched him, right? So, like, for tonight, or both kids can get caught. Yeah. I'm just saying. But for tonight, like,
on both ends of that one.
Max never punched anybody.
Oh, yeah. Man.
No, you ever punch anybody, Max?
Oh, no, I never.
Okay. All I'm saying, though, is like,
sent home from school
Marcus
every
Smart
other day.
Felt like he was a shell of himself in game two. Like, he was chirping, but it wasn't the same high energy that matched Draymond. He needs to be a level above Draymond tonight to defend home court in game three. Mm.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Former NBA referee Tim Donaghy, who served 15 months in prison for betting on games, said on a podcast recently there was one game where Allen Iverson threatened Steve Javy, and we felt as a staff he should have been suspended, but he was only fined $25,000. Donaghy explained, I had the next game, and the two refs and myself in the morning meeting decided that Allen Iverson, although he carries the ball all the time and it's never called, we were going to enforce that against him that night. So there are other ways
Yeah, man, refs go into games with predetermined thoughts as well.
Yeah, there are other ways. It doesn't have to just be you're teed up. It can work against you in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
Key says you're going to see a different Aaron Rodgers over the next 12 months. Oh, this one's interesting. He's going to tell you why.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small, and when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
You know, I love when people talk, like, you know, Barkley said the other day, for $200 million, I would get in, you know, shape. Zion should get in shape. It's like people never factor in inflation, right? Money is not worth it. It's not static. It depends, you know, it keeps being worth less and less over time because of inflation. And that point was driven home recently when I saw that Snoop employs someone. Someone told Snoop, guys, that I heard you employ a professional blunt roller. $40,000 or $50,000 a year. He said, no, inflation,
$60,000 a year.
$60,000 a year.
These prices are going up.
Yeah.
Work professional blunt runner.
Roller.
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 Runner.
Roller. Oh,
runner.
Okay.
Blunt
roller.
Yeah, yeah. Play that, Yates.
Because he doesn't have time, he just wants to make sure that his things are ready to go, right? I'm assuming.
You know what else? I wonder, does he have to have lots of COVID tests for that dude? Because that's a lot of saliva unless you're using a machine. And if you're using a machine, what do you need the professional roller for?
Hey, look, some people are perfectionists, man. If you got a guy on your squad that rolls it right, I mean, why play games?
Yeah.
Why play games?
If you're Snoop.
You know, he did the halftime show, the Super Bowl. You know, he had to get right before in the stadium.
You know what I love about this? Like, this stuff, I love that we talk about this because it should be normalized, right? If that's Kevin Durant being interviewed by David Letterman talking about, I'm high right now during an interview. Or, I mean,
that might be, at a certain point, it becomes like anything. Here's the big thing in life, moderation, right? Like anything.
Agreed.
If you're walking around all day, well, I'll make an exception for Snoop. Snoop or an artist who uses it for artistic reasons.
Key, do you get more annoyed at cigarette smoke or marijuana smoke? 100%
cigarettes.
How about that question?
You saying, do I get more annoyed at cannabis or cigarette?
Or cigarette smoke?
I think I get more annoyed at cigarette smoke.
Yeah, me too.
By 100.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, get this.
Yeah, I got a Snoop.
It's so disgusting.
I got a Snoop story for you about 10 years ago. We walked in. So Snoop was doing a thing on NFL Countdown with us, and we went out to his bus as it was sitting in the parking lot. And that bus is closed.
The hot bus.
When he opened up the door, full contact, my brother. It looked like a steam room.
You open up the door to Snoop's bus, you wind up in rehab.
Oh, man.
Hey, you want an experience? Just go sit in the bus for 10 minutes. You'll have an experience.
Oh, my God.
Snoop. Yeah. I cannot stand cigarettes.
It's the worst. I'm telling you, we had dudes that literally play games. They would do that before games.
But you think about how much better the world is now when the onus is on the cigarette smokers to not have instead of vice versa.
Cigarette.
Used to go out, be coming home stinking from cigarettes. Oh, it's the worst.
Cigarette just gross.
Let's just start with the fact that he's actually here for this. Obviously, last year, he skipped this mini camp and everything else in his offseason of discontent.
I truly believe that he loves the game. And I do think it's going to be really hard for Aaron Rodgers to walk away from football with just one Super Bowl.
He'll retire at some point, but I'm not going to talk about him retiring and wonder if he's going to retire as we get into the season every single damn
Something
week.
Tells me you will.
No, I won't.
Yeah.
Just another real quick thought on Snoop, ESPN Radio, Keyshawn, J. Will, Maxi. So there are dudes, there are some dudes. I think of three dudes from like earlier generations of hip-hop, right? I think of Snoop, I think of Cube, I think of LL. Those three were going to be stars. It doesn't matter. It was going to come out one way or another. If rap never existed, Snoop, Cube, LL, we're going to be stars. Tupac. There are some people who are just, that's who they are, stars. Snoop is such a superstar. It translates across eras, genres. It does not matter.
Yo, and like it's crazy because he still looks the same, man. Like, I be seeing him in the Corona commercial. I'm like, damn, dude, you look exactly the same.
Does anyone have a
Have you ever just like, have you hung out with him, Jay, ever? Like,
I kicked it. Oh, I mean, okay. I don't remember, but I kicked it.
Man, he got to be one of the funniest dudes. He's just a funny dude. I mean, he's just one of the funniest cats going.
Is anyone more well-liked than Snoop across popular culture?
Excuse me?
Is anyone more liked than Snoop across popular culture? Like, go find a group that's like, no, I don't mess with Snoop. Everyone loves Snoop.
No, everybody rock with Snoop.
Yeah, everybody.
Snoop is authentic, though. Mm-hmm. He never changed and became Hollywood or something that he wasn't. He's from Long Beach. He was a former, you know, a gang member. He's been through some trials and tribulations throughout his life early on. I mean, he beat a murder case early on. He got his life back on order. He went through the whole death row situation to the point where he's joined hips with Martha Stewart. I mean, Martha Stewart's supposed to be the homemaker of all homemakers, right? So, am I saying it? Yeah, that's right. Correct, right? Homemaker.
Yeah, you got it. You said it right.
So, they're besties, those two. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. I would not say
smoke
that
with him.
Besties with benefits. Go ahead.
Let me find out. She's the professional roller.
What?
Let me find out. Martha Stewart. Let me find out. Martha Stewart is the $60,000 a year
professional helper.
Hey yo.
Aaron Rodgers does not fit into that category. I don't feel like he's as universally loved as Snoop, for example.
Yeah.
However, well.
There is a picture of Key online with Tupac and the crew, though. It's tough. It's a tough pick.
Yeah, Key looking like the hardest
Key
in the picture.
I see you back in the day, though, Key. Death row!
Man, I just work here at ESPN.
As I recall, everyone else was smiling, and it was Key scowling.
Key had the young, thin mustache on the face.
I knew something about the thin little joint. I got a puffier face, though.
Go ahead, Max. Take it away.
Here, listen to Aaron Rodgers on his future.
So do you think you'll finish your career here?
Yes, definitely.
See yourself at some point saying, I'm going one more year and then I'm done.
I would never say that publicly. I've never been one to want some sort of going away season or anything like that. And plus, I don't think it's fair to the mental state at the end of the season and thinking how you feel. If you say I'm for sure playing two more or three more years and then you have a magical season and end with a championship and think that might be the best way to write off, you know, I don't want to commit to something. You say I'm only playing one more year and you have a bitter taste in your mouth and still got the drive and the passion to play one or two more years, I just don't want to get pigeonholed into it. So I'm focused on this season. I'm never going to drag it out in the off season. The conversations I've had with Brian have been very honest and direct, and that's not going to change. And we'll sit down after the season and hopefully after a championship and figure out what the next step is.
I mean, to me, the big revelation there, Key is right in the beginning. He says, are you going to retire a Packer? Oh, yeah, he's going to retire a Packer? I thought he was going to keep us on a hook, you know, every offseason. What do you make of that, where all of a sudden he gives that away? I'm going to retire a Packer. Isn't that how he keeps his name in the headlines?
Well, he was always going to retire. He was going to always retire a Packer. Remember, last year it was all about the contract, whether or not he had some control, and they communicated with him. That was the only reason why he held out. Other than that, everything is going to be fine. When you look at Aaron Rodgers right now, I like Aaron Rodgers. 6 months ago, he annoyed the hell out of me. Right now, I like him. 6 months from now, other people are going to like him. 6 months after that, some more people are going to like him. If you think about it, because Aaron Rodgers sees the benefits down the line of becoming a likable guy. You know how many people disliked Tom Brady several years ago? People like Tom Brady now. Tom Brady just got $375 million on a 10-year deal from a television network. Aaron Rodgers wants to be in television. He ponied up and tried to get the Jeopardy job. And now, all of a sudden, he's in a position where he could be likable. And people will start to look at him differently. He knows that.
Ooh, that's a great point.
Don't get bamboozled, Max.
No, no, Jay, that opens my eyes. Why is Rodgers giving away the thing that keeps him in the headlines by keeping us guessing? Because Tom Brady just got $375 million because everyone loves Tom Brady. And Aaron Rodgers may see, oh, wait a minute, that would be nice for me too.
So question, Key, what's the best thing for Aaron Rodgers' brand? Like, because he said it there, retire as a Packer. But then his contract says differently, right? It goes year by year by year. So will we be seeing more drama year by year by year? Like, no. Does it behoove him for brand TV Aaron Rodgers to leave Green Bay? Or does it make sense for him, regardless of if it gets bad in Green Bay, stick through it because we reward people that stay with the franchise that they've been around their entire career?
Well, not necessarily that. If you look back at the history of certain star athletes that have reputations in the beginning to the middle to their careers, change those reputations toward the end because they see some things, the light at the end of the tunnel and opportunity. Again, Tom Brady was a villain in New England. Tom Brady is no longer a villain. He changed his whole perception in about a 2-year period of time to where people are like, we can deal with this dude. This dude is not as sneaky and shady as we thought he was. And I think Aaron Rodgers will get there in the next 12 months. You watch what I tell you, Jay. People going to like him differently.
I think that's a great point. I do got to say something really quickly, though, because Gourmet Chef Kev, who always hits us on Twitter daily, 9,000 times a day, he said this: Aaron Rodgers has been fun to watch over the years, but why does everyone always fall into the dreamland as what he's going to do next season after he wets the bed in the playoffs?
Are they giving out $375 if you're not winning Super Bowls? It feels like we're due for a 40-piece in the NBA Finals, doesn't it?
What?
Who's it going to come from? That's next, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Sometimes it's a fine line between good defense or turnover offense. Stolen by Curry. Curry 1-on-4, 2-on-4. Pulls from the top for three and hits it.
Guy's amazing. He just keeps working on his game, his strength, his conditioning year after year, and it's a pleasure to watch him play.
Oh, and now we have, this is one of my favorites in the industry, guys.
Scal!
Brian Scalabrini's with us. What's up, Scal?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Doing well, although Jay, you what? love to talk about your meeting on the court, your meetings on the court.
No, I only played Scal one time.
Brian Scal. Oh,
only
it was
played one?
One
time in college, yeah, that's it.
Well, you talk about it like it happened every other day.
See, Scal, see what Max has, this little trick that he does where he starts saying things so much that it forces people to think that's actually what I think. Like, and it's not true. It's like that little radio TV trick. You ever get that done to you?
Well, Jay, did you not say to me, to remind Brian Scalabrini, my Trojan mate, that you dropped 39 on his head.
Oh, yeah, I did. Oh, yeah, me? I said that now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I said that.
Multiple times.
It wasn't on Brian, though. Multiple
times outside of today. Did you not?
No, that's not. That's that. That. See,
it's
now,
a simple,
now
can we let Scal get a word in?
It's a simple yes or no. Did you not in the past say that?
I just want to know against USC. That's all.
We talk all day. Can we let Scal get a
I'm
word
sorry,
in?
Scal.
Scal, how are the Celtics going to respond after dropping game 2?
I mean, this is a roller coaster ride. I think they're 7-0 off of losses, and I do think they'll bounce back. They always do. I do think they're the better team, but you know, we've had some moments. 23-2 against Miami, 14-0, 16-2. These are all runs that the other team has made, and it's all based off of, you know, the Celtics getting really loose with the basketball, and it's having, you know, a bad 6 minutes, a bad 5 minutes, and that's the reason why they've kind of went 7 games with the Bucks without Middleton, kind of went 7 games with against Miami, but it's also they're also a very good team defensively that usually bounces back, and Tatum usually bounces back. So I think that they'll take care of the basketball a little bit more in this game and not have that big-time lull that they had in game 2.
Scott, I think one of the reasons why I'm going to appreciate your comment on this is because playing against you, watching your time in the league and listening to your pregame and postgame for the Celtics, like I know like the physicality part of the game is something that you embrace, right? And the physicality in game 2 from Draymond Green, the tone that was set, the comments on his podcast afterwards about, you know, nobody's trying to be ejected from the NBA Finals. How do you think the Celtics react to that? What kind of tone do you think will be set from the beginning of the game tonight in game 3?
Yeah, so just unfolding Draymond's comments and the way he played. I love the way he played. I think it shows how smart he is as a basketball player and understanding if you're going to beat the Celtics, you got to kind of junk the game up. You know, like Klay Thompson hasn't been playing at a high level yet, so Draymond's searching for ways to win, and I thought he did a great job. You know, the Celtics, I thought they got caught up into that. You have to almost, like, deal with it, but you can't, like, let it affect the way you play when you're the better team. The only thing I really had a problem with is him coming out on the podcast afterwards and saying that. Like, I agree with Draymond. I don't disagree. And he's being honest, so I can't really fault him for that. But, you know, saying that is, like, basically, like, you know, kind of sticking it to the NBA's face, like, I'm above the law. I can do whatever I want. The NBA is not going to kick me out, which I kind of disagreed with those comments. But as far as from a basketball standpoint, Draymond's not dumb. He knows exactly what you have to do to the Celtics. You have to kind of get under their skin. You've got to kind of make them uncomfortable. And Draymond's like a master at the shenanigans and playing that way. Like, the Boston Celtics aren't ready for that, nor is it their personality. So he sort of, in a weird way, I know Curry was amazing, but he dictated the tone and tempo of that game with the stuff that he was doing. And I give him all the credit in the world. I wondered, from you guys' perspective, after he did that on our show in the morning, we had a million callers call up and tell me how bad he is. It's like, it's the weirdest thing. The more he impacts winning and does those type of things, the more people call up and think that he's not a good player. And I disagree completely. I think he impacts winning at a high level.
Brian Scalabrine, former Celtic forward, 2008 NBA champion, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Brian, Jason Tatum has had an up-and-down series so far, played sparingly well in game 1 in terms of the assist and playing defense and getting things going, but completely different in game 2 in the second half. How can he be more consistent across the board to help his team win a game?
Yeah, and this isn't in particular to just Jason Tatum. It's the Celtics. And this, I find their best style of play. This is really unique. You know, like a lot of teams don't like to play, you know, like driving kick offense or motion offense because the ball doesn't necessarily find your best players. You know, you can end up having, you know, role players taking a lot more shots. For instance, that was a good example of that was Grant Williams in game 7 against Milwaukee. They literally just left him open, and he shot 18 threes that game. But I think when the Celtics are at their best, they're playing that driving kick, they're playing that motion offense with an emphasis to find Tatum and find Brown. And when they play that way, those guys kind of flow out of it, and they get a lot of their attempts. They get the ball in their hands a lot, and I don't think they force the issue. So I think Tatum played a brilliant game 1, and I thought, let the game come to him. You know, you talked about the defense, the rebounding, all that stuff. I thought Tatum was great. He's just missed shots. And a lot of those shots were catch and shoot. They weren't, you know, him trying to get into his bag and all of a sudden just having a really tough time doing that. I just thought, like, the way that he was playing he was playing exactly the way the Celtics need to play to win. In game two, he made shots. So he was still struggled. He still struggled inside the arc. Like, he was, at halftime, he was 2 for 9 from inside the arc. And the Warriors do a really good job of that, but 5 for 7 from outside the three. And so people are saying, man, Tatum really bounced back. He played well. And I looked and I'm like, I don't think that this is the way the Celtics beat the Warriors. I think this kind of falls into the Warriors' hands. So I think Tatum and Brown, it's as simple as this. Like, when you play that driving kick motion offense and that ball comes to, let's say I was out there, and let's say I have a shot, you know, I'm probably better off, you know, doing that one touch pass over to Tatum just to get him a second shot. Now he can attack off the closeout, and especially, you know, with 10 seconds on the shot clock. And now he's touched the ball on that possession 2 times. Now it seems like he's going to make a big-time play.
Yeah.
Maybe that's still him making another pass and getting an assist, but I just think the Celtics are at their best when they play that style versus, I thought a lot in and it's kind of started out that way. Tatum and Brown started the game out making tough shots, but I think that they're at their best when that ball is moving with an emphasis to get it back to those two guys.
Pascal, you and I both know this, brother. Like, you know, 2 men can't be 5. They can get close. I mean, I've seen it. But you need guys like Al Horford. You need guys like Marcus Smart. I mean, Al Horford, 28 minutes, only 4 shots. Marcus Smart, 25 minutes, 6 shots. And also, really quickly, Scal, because I know we have to get going, but Robert Williams, you know, took 1 shot for 2 points. That knee injury where Marcus Smart came into the left knee, what's his status, and how does this affect this team moving forward?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. I think he's just a questionable. And yeah, he obviously affects the rim, you know, the way that he guards. But, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, it's one of those things. The Celtics are at their best when they spread it around. But I still think that it's still going to be your stars making those plays. It's still going to be Tatum and Brown making those plays. But they just can't get bogged down into saying, we're going to play 2-on-5, like you just said. Like, you can't do that, especially against the Warriors, because – I mean, Draymond Green, one of the best help defenders in the NBA. He's like he can get into people's way, like when Tatum has the ball, and he can also fire back to shooters. So I just think if the Celtics are going to win this series, which I do believe they're the better team, it has to go back to ball movement, and then Al Horford will get 11 shots. And it doesn't mean you know the game. Al Horford doesn't have to take 11 shots for him to be completely effective. But the ball has to fly. The ball has to fly around. That's when they're going to be at their best.
The great Brian Scalabrine, ladies and gentlemen, whose finest work may have come in a little show called Nation at Night. Had a limited run. It was wrapped around playoff games, Sports Nation at Night, live audience, live around playoff. I don't remember if you remember who you did that show with, Brian.
Yeah, no, I do remember. I do remember I got killed in the pre-production meeting because I told you guys that Kawhi Leonard's a beast when he guards LeBron, and you guys almost laughed me out of the building.
That's right. Scal and I told everyone that, and they almost laughed us out of the building. Isn't that right,
Scal? White Mamba, this is what he does.
That's right.
This is what he does.
Scalabrine, much closer to LeBron than you are to Scal. Believe that. Thanks, Scal.
All right, Scal.
All right, see ya.
Brian Scalabrine is host of The Starting Lineup on SiriusXM NBA Radio, which starts in 20 minutes on SiriusXM Channel 86. It feels like we're due for a 40-piece, right? That's what we've been talking about. Who's it going to come from? We're going to be talking about that coming up. But you were talking about just now, Jay, Time Lord, mm-hmm. Robert Williams, and his significance in terms of the outcome of these finals. Can you get into that a little bit?
So he didn't look right in game two. It was like he was limping, and at times he was getting targeted. Now, I know what he brings to the table from protecting the rim. Obviously, Brian Scalabrine just properly articulated that. His presence alone can alter a lot of shots at the rim, and it forces you to kind of settle for more three-point shots. But him not being himself on the court, that's going to be a big question mark for the Celtics, right? Because, you know, Al Horford got targeted in a ton of action. That's where Steph Curry got going. So you need him on the court to spell those minutes. And also what he brings defensively to the table, his ability to play on the perimeter, get out there. But that knee thing, when Marcus Smart banged into his left knee, falling to the ground, that's where he really got worried. That's why he played limited minutes. And he's a key cog for this team to help them win a championship.
Listen to this. Key, Jay, listen to this. Off of what you just said, Jay, Jeff Van Gundy had an idea because we were talking about Draymond Green, right? And Key's like, you can't play Draymond's great game with him. Jay, your point was, well, but Marcus Smart just does that naturally. Udoka, his point was, be who you are.
But you see what Brian said. Brian said you can't, he said the same thing I said. Yep. You can't play into his hands.
So this is what Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, Knicks coach of my younger days, said on the Low Post podcast. This is how he what he would do about Draymond.
You either have to come to the idea as a group that we're going to completely ignore Green, his antics and his disruptions, or we're going to confront him every single time he runs his mouth. And so I would try to get the earliest double T of all time. Could be at the jump ball. I would start Grant Williams maybe and have him just walk right over there and just start jawing, right? And then every time Green's running his mouth, turn and confront him.
Sorry, he said Grant Williams. I had in my head it was Robert Williams. He's talking about Grant Williams. Yeah.
Here's my thing. Me personally, this is me. I hate acting, Key, like stuff ain't happening. Like I'm not that dude. Like, oh, just ignore it. And I'm hearing you chirping, because I'm allowing you to dictate the tone. And even though I'm acting like it doesn't affect me, come on, man. Like, we're all aware. We hear it. And you hear it over and over. That plays a role. Like, I agree with Jeff Van Gundy on the latter. I am confronting it collectively from the beginning.
He said get a double T. Earliest double T of all time.
And I love – I'd even think about Grant Williams. That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Confront it. Marcus Smart, confront it. Combat it. Let it energize you. Let it build you. Don't act like it's not there. We all know it's there.
Are you being persuaded by these arguments at all?
No. No, I am. So Coach Van Gundy said two things. He said completely ignore, which I agree, or try to play his game and go at him every chance you get from the tip. That's you playing right into his game.
Joseph Keyshawn Johnson, let me ask you a question. When did you play your best in the NFL?
Ain't got nothing to do with me, though.
No, I know it has nothing to do with anybody else but you. That's what I'm asking you.
I can manufacture hate in my own mind.
Okay,
for you.
But Key, I know you. We've been working together for 2 years now. When somebody starts talking to you, you go to a different level. I've seen it on the show. Yeah, even us joking around.
That's different than playing on the field. When I'm on the field, I manufacture already before I even take the field what I think about you. Period. I don't like you. You're wearing a different jersey. So we're not friends, period. Even if we go out and have dinner after the game while we're playing, we're not friends. I cannot worry about you getting in my face and talking trash to me, because all I'm going to do is point to the scoreboard. That's all I'm going to do. And if I could somehow psychologically reverse things on you, you're going to start thinking, well, what the hell is wrong with him?
No.
He ain't buying into me.
Key, I've seen you bark back at people. It's like when Gary Payton came on the court with me, he's like, blah, blah. I'm like, yo, all right, cool, what's up, let's go. Like, I take that and it helps me rise to the occasion.
I already know that's what you're going to do. When I'm playing against GP, I already know what he's going to do. I know what Draymond's going to do. So I don't even need to pay that no attention, because I already know. If you're telling me about somebody like a dude that, I don't know, all of a sudden he gets to start nod and he wants to start talking, he made one good play, and he started running his mouth, I'm going to let him know, oh, I'm eventually going to get you. But I'm going to let him know in a different tone. That's all.
I hear what you're saying. I just feel like Ime Udoka is more of an old school type of coach, where you confront that. Like you don't let let that occur.
And that may be the case. All I'm saying is what I would do with my team is not buy into Draymond. You know who he is.
I know.
So why even play into it?
I think this is what the larger point is, Key, that yes, you know who Draymond is. So what you're doing is you're actually neutralizing it by making the first move. It's not like you're trying to be something you're not. You have dudes on your team who have that in them. And once you do that back to Dre, you've boxed them.
But also, Max, this is the Boston Celtics' first NBA Finals. Draymond Green and the Warriors are experienced vets. You know who Draymond Green made me think of when I watched the way the Celtics reacted? That's how, like, little kids react. Like, it seemed like Boston got intimidated by it. They were talking about it in the huddles. How are you going to answer to it? Like, no. We have to watch the Boston Celtics mature and evolve as they find out who they are in the finals. And you have to be a little bit of a bad boy. You have to develop that thick skin to develop a championship-winning mentality.
You do realize, though, when dogs bark loudly, as long as you ignore them, they're eventually going to stop barking.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax is presented by Progressive Insurance. The road to the rematch is on as bantamweight champ Juliana Pena and former champ Amanda Nunes go head-to-head as coaches on the historic 30th season of The Ultimate Fighter. Stream the series now exclusively on ESPN+. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com.
A loss for words? Not here. Fill in the blank.
All right, it's time to play some fill in the blank, guys. Evan, take it away.
Yeah, fill in the blank brought to you by Barbersol. For nearly 30 years, every thrilling Jurassic moment has led to this. Barbersol limited edition Jurassic World collector's cans capture them all before they're gone. Klay Thompson will score blank points in game three, Jay. Fill in the blank.
I'll go 17, 18. Like, I don't know if we're going to see Klay explode tonight. I really think that the tone is going to be set by Boston in this game, and I think they will continue to limit what Klay Thompson can do. Remember now, when he is trying to score off the dribble, his efficiency goes exponentially down as opposed to him being a catch-and-shoot player, and that's what Boston's going to do once again for him tonight.
All right. Keyshawn?
Moving on, I guess. Key, Steph Curry will hit blank three-pointers tonight.
Six.
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah.
Six.
I'll probably go six. I'll go maybe five.
No,
or
that
six.
Question was only for Keith.
Oh, it was only, oh, so that's yeah. How we're playing the game now. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I guess.
I just want to know if we're changing the rules, Evan.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Apparently
right.
We
got
are.
It.
Hey, Max.
No, it wasn't that I changed the rules. What I was doing was looking at the sheet and trying to get everything so I can have my thoughts. But Jay went faster than what I thought he would because usually when it's basketball, he continues to go for a long time.
I like the way we're going, though. I think each of you should take a different one.
No, that's not a dig.
Yes.
Draymond Green will have blank technical fouls the rest of the finals. He has four.
Like one,
seven, he'll get a one-game suspension. He has four
that
in the playoffs.
That gives you your answer. He's going to have two more. He's going to walk right up to the line but not cross it. Yep.
Yeah, I think he'll have one more.
Oh, no.
Jay,
I'm sorry.
Jay.
I told you when it's basketball, you know, when it's basketball, Jay.
I gotta get some airtime here on the show.
Jay.
Football every day.
So Pro Football Focus ranked their top 10 coaches in the NFL. Key, Mike Tomlin is the blank best coach in the NFL.
Third best coach behind Andy Reid and Bill Belichick.
Mike Tomlin was not in the top 10 for PFF. We all know how I feel about PFF.
Yeah, I don't even. PFF, come on, man. Please.
I like Jay, PFF, but they got that wrong.
Blank has the most pressure to win the Super Bowl.
I've been told I talk too much.
Nobody said that. Then you acting like Evan.
Max.
Yes.
Jay
moved
passed.
On quickly.
Okay.
Blank
what's the question?
Is the quarterback with the most pressure in the NFC East.
Dak in the NFC East.
Yeah, Dak.
Jay, let's try this again.
Yes, I'm back.
The Cardinals will win blank games this year.
I'll say they win 11 games.
You know what? It's not Dak. It's Jalen Hurts, but go ahead.
Yeah. You
got 11?
Jalen Hurts, yeah.
I got 11, Key.
Key, go ahead. How many for the Cardinals?
I had nine.
You had nine?
Max, yeah, do you want to also answer this one?
I'll split the difference. I'll say 10. 10 games this year.
Blank.
Way to be out there, Max.
Let's go with Key on this one. Key, blank will be the best first-year coach in the NFL. First year with his new team. Blank will be the best first-year coach in the NFL.
So this counts Josh McDaniels,
sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Josh McDaniels, the Las Vegas Raiders. I think he'll be a tremendous coach this year for the Raiders.
Wait.
I think he, second time around, he gets it.
First,
he gets it.
First year with
first
a new
year
team.
With a new team.
Yep.
First year with a new team.
Max, you have an answer on this one?
I thought it was only for Key.
Sure. Aaron Rodgers. Well, you guys are just making up the rules. Jay answered a couple, and I asked
you. You're the point guard.
Turn the ball over a lot.
If that's
Aaron
your
Rodgers.
Point guard, Jay, you in trouble.
Yeah, facts.
I'm definitely not getting
any rebounds.
He can't
see over the height on the court.
I mean, what type of offense y'all running? That's a slow ass offense.
It's the Princeton. It's the Princeton.
Here, look, look, look right here.
Four quarters. Four quarters.
Shoot.
Running back Dean Smith. Evan just out here trying to see.
Me running the point. You guys ever seen Hoosiers? Last one. Aaron Rodgers will win blank more Super Bowls. You guys all take it.
One. He'll win another Super Bowl. He'll keep going until he gets another one.
I don't think he's going to win one. Zero.
Yeah, Key.
I'm scared to say.
Yeah, come on. Come on board with me.
You got
come
7 seconds.
Say
zero.
Yeah. Whoa. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. The Key for Clay in Game 3 next, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.